This episode of War Rocket Ajax is brought to you by Loot Crate. Go to lootcrate.com/warrocketajax and use the offer code WarRocketAjax to get $3 off a brand new subscription.
Clytus, I'm bored. What plaything can you offer me today?
Is that War Rocket Ajax to bring back his body?
Everybody, and welcome to War Rocket Ajax, the internet's most destructive comics and pop culture podcast. My name is Matt Wilson. I am your host for this week's episode because Chris Sims, my usual co-host on the show, is on a fabulous vacation. Taking one for the first time, I think, since we've ever done the show, so I guess it's well-deserved. In his stead, I've welcomed two formerly banned guests who I restored to no longer being banned when we had them on for the 100th episode. They are back. Chris Haley and Kurt Franklin are here. Although Kurt Franklin may be playing the role of Rob Liefeld. I don't know if we've decided that yet. Chris Haley may be playing the role of Chris Sims. No, that's something we talked about before we started recording.
I don't think that would be fair to Chris Sims, but it might be fair to Rob. It might be an improvement for Rob Liefeld. Kurt do some things to really repair, some of his. Kurt could do some real positive PR work for Rob Liefeld, I think.
I've got my jeans on, baby. I'm going to do a JNCO's ad now.
It's
2016. Levi's were cool in the 90s. It's all about JNCO's now. I'm Rob Liefeld. Welcome to War Rocket Ajax.
I'm glad we got a sponsorship in right away. That's what we need more than anything.
Yeah, Rob Liefeld and JNCO.
The sponsorship of Rob Liefeld? If we could get Rob Liefeld himself to sponsor this show,
how hard could it be?
Rob Liefeld's a busy guy, man.
I think there might be a small conflict of interest for Chris Sims.
Oh, that's right.
for that. But for right now, what we're going to do is checks and wrecks.
This is the first time ever in all the podcasts that Kurt and I have been on together where we weren't looking at each other.
Well, I'm looking at a picture of you.
Oh, okay. Well, see, I don't have the picture of you that I normally keep in my wallet with me.
Chris, is that your check?
Yes.
So your check is that you're not looking at Kurt?
For the first time ever. This is literally the first time since I've known him that I haven't been looking at him.
Chris, is there anything else you would like to check in about? Maybe a podcast that you're doing
now? Let's let Kurt go first.
All right. Kurt, what do you have to check in with?
All right. So first of all, I want to say I'm glad to be here on episode 301, not 300.
Because you had Scott Snyder.
Right. And I feel like this is the start of a new era. So after Scott Snyder, you've had us on, which is great. Because obviously, the things we're working on are just as great as Scott Snyder. Checking in, though. Recently, this past weekend, I went to Orlando, Florida, and I ran a half marathon that was Star Wars themed at Disney World. Running sucks. I'm just going to tell you that right now.
Now, what made it Star Wars themed specifically? Were people in Star Wars costumes?
Yeah, everybody was in Star Wars costumes. There were stormtroopers all along the way that you could take pictures with. They were playing like scenes from the movie on these giant TVs along the way. It led to like really weird things where you'd be like getting close to mile 8, you were getting really exhausted, and around the bend you saw there was this giant TV with a scene from Star Wars playing, and you're like, okay, you start hearing the music, you get a little pumped up, and you turn the corner and it's the part of the third prequel where Obi-Wan cuts off Anakin's legs, and like that was it. Like that was just, it was on a loop. Like they were fighting and then he cuts his legs off and then he says whatever he says, and then it stops. And then that was it.
It makes you want to not take your legs for granted.
Oh, that's true. Maybe that was what they were going for.
Yeah, they're like, oh, I still have my legs. I can keep running.
Or maybe it was a threat. Like, keep running, or Obi-Wan's going to cut your legs off.
Man, I felt like that. I felt like my legs are about to get cut. I also had some bowel problems, so that kind of was a whole issue I was dealing with, but
can we spend the rest of the episode talking strictly about that?
How deep into it do you want me to get?
I want to know what's going on, because this is the first time. I've always wondered about people having bowel problems while they're doing these marathons, but no one ever wants to talk about it.
Oh, man, you do anything for 2 hours, you're going to have, like, you know, some issues. I saw maybe the grossest porta potty I've ever seen in my life.
And I feel like running's going to jostle some stuff around in there, too. Like, it's going to, like, peristalsis is being helped along.
Yeah, they're giving you water, like, every other mile. They're giving you food, and everybody's cheering for you. But, of course, you know, that doesn't stop the body's natural process.
I'm going to shift away from that for a second. We can come back to it if we like.
Yeah, sure. Or I could just come back on a later episode and just get really into it. But, yeah.
Yeah, we could take a deep dive with your gastroenterologist.
Oh, yeah, that's what I call it, too. But
okay, two questions. One, how dare they call them miles and not parsecs?
That's true.
Two, what were you wearing? Were you in a costume, and what was it?
Well, so, all right, I did another one in January that was the same kind of thing in California, Disneyland, and I wore this Rey outfit. I looked like Rey from the movie. I had, like, a T-shirt that had Rey on it, and I had, like, a little knit cap that had, like, Rey's hair buns. So I thought I was pretty cool. I went with a friend of mine, and we were running together, and he's much faster than me, so he quickly left me behind. So I was running by myself for most of the way. And it led to one of those moments that I haven't been embarrassed like this since I was a teenager, maybe. They have all these high school bands out there kind of playing alongside. I guess Disney hires them or something, or maybe they just come out there for the hell of it. I don't know. But there was this one part. It was late in the half marathon, and I was kind of out of it. And there were all these teens lined up, like high-fiving people that were running by. This young woman had her hand out to high-five me. And I put my hand up to high-five her, and she pulled it back at the last second. And her and all her teen friends laughed at me. And I felt that feeling I haven't felt since high school, when you're completely ruined by a teenager. And I'm a 34-year-old man. And I just felt so ashamed.
I made some tweets this week about teens.
Yeah, Matt, I was going to say, you've been having some problems with teens lately, too.
Well, mainly they just walk by my house after school, and every day I think, what are those fucking teens going to do?
The nerve of them to walk.
And I say it out loud to myself.
I had this kind of thing going on where, like, I'm like, what, am I not cool? Like, why don't they think I'm cool? Have I lost it already? Why can't I go hang with the teens?
Is this podcast going to get you put on a list, Kurt?
Oh, man, don't be gross.
Just an asterisk next to his name.
Yeah.
And beneath it, it says,
I'm sorry, is this podcast going to get Rob Liefeld put on a list?
Don't be teen adjacent.
Kurt, congratulations on not only doing a half marathon, but doing it while you had bowel problems.
I appreciate that.
Well, so two together, that's like you did a full one. A full Star Wars marathon, right?
Well, in some ways, yeah.
What's in what ways not, though?
Yes. Correct.
Good. I'm glad we got that sorted.
Chris Haley, as I was hinting at earlier, I think there's a podcast you might want to talk about.
Yeah, it's called Professor Blastoff. It's not on anymore. But no, I think I know what you're leading me into there. Also, man, I got to say, Kurt, are you drinking?
Yeah.
Damn. Because I was going to say also, this would be the first time we have been on War Rocket Ajax and not been drinking heavily, because I'm not drinking anything.
And we've only been on it once, though, right?
No, we've been on it more than once.
Really?
Man, see, this is the problem with drinking, is you don't remember
at
your
least,
life.
Well, it was also like
at
6 years ago.
I've got a new podcast called Keep It Close to Me. And even though I just started that podcast, even though I just started that one and we're only a couple episodes in, I've also unfortunately, or fortunately, whatever, started on this journey to watch Mortal Kombat Annihilation every night for a year. And within the confines of my new podcast, I'm going to be doing a maxi series other podcast called I Gotta Beat Mortal Kombat Annihilation, where I watch the movie every night for a year or day. I mean, just once a day, once every 24 hours. And then once a week, I'm going to have a different friend on to watch the movie with me, and then we'll talk about it. Just going to see what happens. As I came up with this idea, my wife, April, let me know that apparently there is already a podcast where two Australian guys or New Zealand guys, something watched Grown Ups 2 once a week for a year. But I honestly had not heard of that.
That podcast was called The Worst Idea of All Time.
I'll go ahead and tell you, I think that this idea I've had is much worse because I have to watch it a lot more and no one else has to watch it with me that many times. April's had to see a few bits and pieces of the movie so far, but she hasn't had to watch much of it. And I tried to get her to I tried to talk her into watching it with me last night instead of The Guest. And she said no, because she was already going to have to be dealing with this shit for a year.
I'm glad she's found coping mechanisms already.
Yeah. And we did. We watched The Guest, and it was really great.
Chris Sims and I watched Mortal Kombat Annihilation once for Movie Fighters, and that kind of seemed like enough.
Yeah, I'm on my I've watched it 12 times in a row, 12 nights in a row so far. Last night was the 12th night, and I watched it right after The Guest. And last night was the first time where I was like, I would really rather not watch this right now. It wasn't because I just didn't want to watch Mortal Kombat Annihilation. It's just it was getting late. And I was like, there are things I would really rather watch than this. But
so it didn't have anything to do with it being juxtaposed with a much better movie?
Well, I mean, I don't think that had anything to do with it. It was really just that I was like, there's so much stuff right now that I've kind of been missing out on because I've been spending some of my the time that I would normally spend watching other stuff every night watching Mortal Kombat Annihilation. And yeah, last night was the first time where I just really was like, I would rather watch something else. I have other things I would really rather watch right now, because as soon as I'm done with Mortal Kombat Annihilation, I'm going to have to go to bed, which means I'm missing out on prime watching other things time. But, you know, hopefully by the end of it, I will have defeated the movie. I will have completely, I'll find the secrets that it holds, and hopefully it'll be fun for the people to listen along. Both of you are going to be on this show at some point in the next year. So,
for real?
Oh, absolutely. Do you think do you know how hard I'm going to be scrambling to try to come up with 52 friends?
Ooh, is this like a DC tie-in?
Well, it's a fun coincidence.
I feel like 52 friends could be a podcast on its own. Trying to find 52 friends.
Yeah, but it's just like a podcast. The 52 friends aren't on the show. It's just Matt, talking maybe about, I tried to make a new friend this week. It didn't go well.
My check is linked to what we're going to talk about in our recs. We're recording this, as we often do, on a Thursday night. You most likely know that on Thursday, that was the day that Prince left this world, and I have been pretty completely rocked by it. It is not cool, and Prince has been one of my favorites since I have been aware of music. Like, he has been there. Prince has been the constant of so much in my life. And it has made the day-to-day, like, I had to watch Legends of Tomorrow.
Ugh.
And all I could do while I was watching Legends of Tomorrow was just think about how I'd rather be listening to Prince. Like, I was in the commercial breaks, I was listening to You Got the Look and Seven instead of like muting the TV, listening to those songs until the show came back and I had to watch it so I could recap it with Dylan tomorrow. This afternoon, I had to go get new tires for my car, and the only thing that made that tolerable was sitting in the – this was the weirdest experience. I was sitting in the waiting room. In the waiting room, you know, there's the one big TV that everybody has to look at all the time.
Yeah.
Because what else are you going to do?
Yeah, it's usually a Steve Harvey show or something.
This was on Fox News. Like, the weird thing about Asheville, North Carolina is that it is liberal, super blue, hippie town, except for in auto repair shops, which are the most conservative places on Earth.
Right.
Because they all have Fox News on their TVs all the time. And every time I've ever been in one, Fox News has been on. And the weirdest thing was watching the Fox News coverage of Prince, like the coverage of the news that he had died, because people that you would never expect to be talking about, like, how Prince was this great musician who influenced them and changed their lives.
Who were
saying how Prince was great. Well, like Fox News anchors. So like whoever they're like, super white bread, middle of the afternoon anchor guy was talking about like his favorite Prince songs. And then it went to the 4 o'clock show, or I guess the 3 o'clock show. And Gretchen Carlson, who used to be on Fox and Friends, was the host. And she was like talking about how amazing and influential Prince was. And then they brought on Stacey Dash to talk about it. They brought on Kennedy from MTV to talk about it.
Wow. That's
because Kennedy's like a regular Fox News contributor now.
What?
How often are you in the auto repair shop that you know this?
I only know about the Stacey Dash thing because she said a couple things.
Well, yeah, I knew about the Stacey Dash thing, but Kennedy.
I don't know how I knew about the Kennedy.
Does she have a last name now?
I don't think so. I think she's still just Kennedy. Kennedy. Maybe she needs a first name. But I don't know how I knew about Kennedy being on Fox News. I just knew it. And so she popped up and started talking about Prince. It's a very surreal, weird experience. But it gave me like I could talk to – I called Marlene, or she called me. And she was like, do I need to come pick you up from the tire shop or whatever? And I was like, no. I'm having a great time watching Fox News talking about Prince, which was really something. All right. Those are our checks. Our recommendations. Here's what I'm going to suggest for recommendations. All of us recommending one Prince-related thing. And Kurt, I know you had one in the chamber.
Right.
So if you want to put that out there.
Well, one of the things that I think most Americans have to do that maybe not everybody wants to do is watch the Super Bowl every year. And the one year that Prince did the halftime show, it was incredible. And I think it was worth it to everybody, you know, non-football fans and football fans alike. I think he kind of killed it for everybody else because you guys saw it. He had the whole thing where he did Purple Rain and it was actually raining. And he had the big silhouette of himself where he had the guitar, looked like his dick. It was the most, like, Prince halftime show of all time, which is good because it was Prince.
Yeah, I wouldn't want anybody else to do the most Prince halftime show.
Right. That would be really embarrassing for Prince if someone else did the most Prince halftime show ever.
And I'm sure he'd have something to say about it.
Yeah.
It'd probably be, like, some kind of really cool, dismissive look.
Oh, yeah.
That you could make into a GIF.
Right. He was the most GIFable artist of all time, maybe. Do y'all remember watching that Super Bowl and seeing that halftime show? And just, it blew your mind.
It was incredible.
In absolutely pouring rain.
Right.
Matt, do you want to tell
all this electronic stuff all over the place.
Matt, yeah. Do you want to tell that story you told us?
On Twitter, somebody shared, or actually somebody retweeted the NFL's main account, which had posted this like 8-minute video about that halftime show. They had interviewed different people who were involved in the halftime show or who helped make it happen or whatever. One of the organizers of the halftime show had to call Prince and talk to him about the rain. And so he called Prince and he said, hey, Prince, this has never happened before in a halftime show, but for whatever reason, it's raining. Is that going to affect your show or do you think you can still do it? And Prince's only reply to that was, can you make it rain harder?
Oh my God. How could that be more badass? That's like the perfect Prince answer. I guess Prince always kind of probably has a perfect Prince answer.
I saw so many clips today of just like him having these amazing soundbite responses to questions.
Did y'all hear? I saw this tweet going around today where somebody said that Prince hated mustard, but that he kept 12 different kinds of it in his kitchens because in case his friends liked mustard.
Man, that's a good friend.
Yeah. I feel like it says a lot about a guy. Beyond, it's like he's some kind of friend genius, some kind of just all around interesting person outside of being so musically talented.
Chris, do you have a a good Prince recommendation?
Well, I mean, it kind of goes without saying that, you know, all of his music is stuff worth listening to. And but when you kind of brought this idea up, the first thing that came to mind for me was, and I know this is going to be a little odd, I guess, because what I'm about to suggest is on the first Evening with Kevin Smith DVD, he tells this story, and I'm sure this is on YouTube, so you don't have to try to go buy that DVD or anything, but he tells this really long story about this one time that he had this collaboration with Prince, like where he was going to come and shoot a documentary for Prince, and I don't know if it ever ended up actually coming out or whatever. I think it didn't, actually, but the story is that he tells about this whole like week or however long it was that he went and spent at Prince's estate at Paisley Park. It was amazing and fascinating. And it's, you know, like all the Prince stories that, you know, you hear, you know, like from Chappelle's show and stuff like that. It's got a perfect blend of really weird stuff and just really amazing stuff where you're just like, man, this guy is just, you know, some kind of musical alien. You know, it's like just some kind of, everything you hear about him is just kind of fascinating. It, no matter which way it kind of bends, whether it's towards the him being a lunatic or, you know, him being just badass.
My Prince recommendation is an album that I don't know if it gets lost in the shuffle so much, but like there are the certain Prince albums that you hear about that are essential. Purple Rain, 1999, Sign of the Times. But this one is one of his early ones, and it is one that I listen to a lot, and that is really good. It has one like absolutely perfect Prince song on it called When You Were Mine. It's the album Dirty Mind. I think it's his third album, because I think his second one was the self-titled album, and his third album is Dirty Mind. It's got the most amazing cover and the most amazing poster on the inside.
Is that the album sounds like the unicorn or whatever?
No, that's a different one. Okay. The poster on the inside of Dirty Mind is just like him in, like, I think he's wearing like a jacket, but otherwise it's just like a Speedo it. In front of a bunch of speakers. It's this great black and white poster. It also has a song called Sister that nobody has really been talking about today.
I can't wait to hear about it.
But it is a song about how he is in love with his sister.
Hell yeah.
That Prince album and those songs are amazing. So if you have not heard any of Dirty Mind, you should absolutely check it out. All right, guys.
Just real quick, I was going to say, did we want to say anything about China?
Chris, would you like to recommend something?
No, I mean, I'm just China's saying, it's like, I don't know. I feel like, you know, that's probably something. I feel like you've got a big pro wrestling contingent amongst your listener base, and they're going to be like, why didn't they mention that?
You know, I don't really know anything about wrestling, but I saw the news today and I saw somebody posted a link to like a video of her wrestling Eddie Guerrero. And like, you know, I have no context for it. Like, was that like a big deal at the time? It seemed pretty cool, like to have a woman wrestle an actual guy.
Yeah, she did. She had a lot of matches with guys, and she was the first woman ever to win the Intercontinental Championship, and she was also the first woman ever to be number one contender for the WWF World Heavyweight Championship.
Am I mistaken in saying that she's the only woman to be the Intercontinental Champion?
Yeah. That's also correct. But I mean, you know, the way that they don't want to. I assume they don't want to phrase it like that because they want to keep right. the possibility open. But and she was also, what was it? I think she was the first woman ever to qualify for the Royal Rumble or the King of the Ring, one of those.
She was in the Royal Rumble at least once, maybe more.
Yeah, but she had lots of matches with guys. I remember she had like a whole feud with Chris Jericho. She had a feud with Jeff Jarrett.
The Jeff Jarrett feud was the one where she won the Intercontinental title, if I remember right. But yeah, absolutely. Like, if there's a match to go watch, that Eddie Guerrero match is a good one to go check out. So there's an additional recommendation for you guys: go watch that China Eddie Guerrero match. I'll find it on the network and link it. I'm glad we did that. I'm glad we gave some props to China. Now let's talk about some comics. Chris Haley, I think you wanted to kick things off maybe with talking about the newest issue of Action Comics. That's number 51, which is it the third part of the...
It's part three of the Final Days of Superman story that they're doing right now, kind of across all the Superman books. The first issue was, or the first part, the part one of the story was in Superman number 51, and then part two was Batman slash Superman number 31, and then this week was part three and Action Comics number 51. I feel like this is one of the best Superman things they've done since the New 52 started. None of those, I reread all three of those, or I reread the first two before I read the new issue last night, and none of them just kind of on their own are really something you'd go like, oh, that was really awesome, but taking this story like as a whole, and they've definitely got me hooked into like, I want to know what's going to happen, and the way they're playing it out has been, it's been really neat. The writing's good. I think Peter Tomasi has written all three parts so far, and he's going to be writing one of the new bi-monthly Superman books when the Rebirth takes over.
Man, I think he's like super underrated.
Yeah, like
he's been so good for so many years, and you never really feels like he's gotten like a huge shot on something, you know?
Like he was so good when he took over Batman and Robin after Grant Morrison left.
Yeah.
Like, or when they restarted it, I guess in the New 52, I guess he was still, what, I mean, just.
Yeah. He did it. Pat Gleason. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Like everything he's done with Pat Gleason has been great.
And you remember that Black Adam miniseries he did?
Oh,
with,
my gosh.
Doug
yes.
Monk. I don't know how to say that dude's name, but man, that was so good. And like the crappy thing is that it had, did it tie into Countdown, or was it?
No, it tied in. It was like.
Oh, it was right at the end of 52. That's right.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Because it was explaining how he got his stuff back.
Yeah,
yeah.
So good. Right. I was psyched to hear that he was going to be writing one of the new Superman books, and I feel like he, you know, it's one of those things where he's not, you know, no, there never seems to be much fanfare, but he just is like so consistently producing at a high level, and I hope that they're finally have like gotten enough trust in him that he's able to do good things, that they're going to let him be even like a little more, you know, have a little bit more. It feels like he's the kind of guy where they keep putting him on books because he can do consistently good work within editorial guidelines.
He's not pissing anybody off.
Yeah. It seems like they never really let him shake things up. It's just kind of like, keep this going, tell a good story. And I mean, that's a real talent. That's like an underrated talent, but I hope that they're going to let him, I mean, and maybe with this Final Days of Superman, that's like the start of that. They're going to let him kind of try to do some, you know, some wilder things, but man, I'm really interested to see where it's going to go and looking forward to what he does after that.
Well, can you like talk about it without spoiling it too much? So I know like Superman before New 52 is around. Have they met yet? Like the 52 Superman?
They haven't met yet. And he's that Superman has not entered into this story at all yet. I mean, I assume that he's going to at some point, but so far he has not had anything to do. And the weird thing is that in these last, you know, three issues, the New 52 Superman seems more like, you know, pre-New 52. He seems more like pre-New 52 Superman than he ever has previously, which I guess for me makes it a little more emotionally compelling that he's talking about dying and like, so the point of the story is that he's had over the last like couple of years in all the various Superman books and the Brian Hitch JLA book, Superman's just had like a ton of really big fights, crazy things happen. You know, he lost.
That's not like Superman.
Yeah, exactly. He lost his powers and then he got them back by being infected with kryptonite. And like, there's all these things, but there's been like a string of things, like one right after another that has apparently just caused him to, he's going to die soon. And he knows it. And he's run all these tests and, you know, Batman's looked into stuff and it's just like, yeah, there's nothing I can do. I'm going to die. So before I die though, I need to take care of these things. I need to make sure that, I mean, and this is kind of like, they've done this kind of story before with Superman, like especially there was like a, I think Sims may have done a thing about this for Comics Alliance. I apologize if it's someone else. I don't pay attention to the names. Come on. I see Superman and then I have to see what it's about. But you know, this is like a Silver Age story with the idea of Superman knows he's going to die and then he's got to take care of things before he goes. And they're just kind of doing that kind of story, but in this new 52 world, and Superman's trying to get his affairs in order. And it's just been, there's been some neat character moments between Superman and his supporting cast, and, you know, like Batman and Supergirl, and talking about what's going on and trying to get things in order. But, and there's been some cool fight scenes and yada, yada, you know, stuff just showing, like, I guess, you know, why Superman's neat. And I'm really curious to see how it turns out.
One of the theories is that he's not going to die. He's just going to become depowered, and then he won't be Superman anymore. He'll just be Clark Kent.
But there's another guy named Clark Kent has showed up.
Yeah, I don't know. What? But
who's a?
Because it's basically confirmed that the pre-New 52 Superman
is going to take over.
Yeah, it's going to take over. So that's going to be interesting. But the thing about, one of the things about Tomasi is he's kind of like James Tynion, where, or is it Tynion? I don't know. I don't know how to say his name either.
I think it's Tynion.
Tynion, the fourth, who is somebody that you don't hear talked about a lot as like this amazing writer, but just has had this really good, consistent output for the last several years. So I'm going to have to catch up with that, because if it's not the first time in the New 52 that they've done one of these like intra-title crossovers, even down to the little triangles on the cover,
yeah,
which is a very like nostalgia point thing to do.
Super 90s.
Very 90s.
Well, it's just weird that they're like talking about they're making him now with this act like classic super. He's acting way more like classic Superman, and then they're going to replace him with classic Superman. I'm very curious to see how it kind of seems unnecessary to replace him with classic Superman if you're going to start making him act like classic Superman.
Yeah, what's the thought process there? Like, is this Superman not good enough?
Well, and how is, I'm like, what, you know, they've shown the stuff with Superman in the JLA and stuff like that, it, you know, in the Rebirth stuff, and it's like, is everyone just going to go like, oh, you look just like that guy, except a little older. I guess you're cool.
And you're married, so you're so different.
Yeah.
Okay.
What if they're heavily attracted to each other, like new Superman and old Superman?
They awaken. So, those new
Now that's a story I want to see.
Superman on the Kinsey scale somewhere. Gotta be.
Kurt, you said you wanted to talk a little bit about the Vision series that Marvel has right now.
Yeah, it's well, it's funny you're talking about the new DC stuff, but I'm not the first person to say this, but one of the best writers out there right now is Tom King. And so I try to read everything he does just because it's all so different and so good. And he started doing the Vision for Marvel. It's up to issue 6, I believe. He's writing it, and let me look at my note here. Gabriel Walta is the artist, and Jordi Belair's coloring it. And it's a really awesome comic book, and it gives me these vibes of DC's Swamp Thing when Alan Moore was doing it, just because it's taken this character and it's made it really – it's kind of shown the side of it that you wouldn't normally see from a Vision comic. Like, I have no particular love for the Vision. I don't really care that much. I mean, he's cool. I like him. But this comic, it's really weird. It's got almost a horror aspect to it. Not just, like, straight-up scary stuff happening, but just the weirdness of everything. So, like, I don't know if you know what it's about, but the Vision's going through some stuff. And he does that thing that robots do where, especially comic book robots, where they get their emotions and then maybe they decide they don't want their emotions, so they get rid of them. And then, you know, at some point they'll probably get them back. But at the beginning of the story, Vision's like, you know, he's done with the emotion stuff. He doesn't like feeling all that. So he creates this family. He creates a wife, a son, and a daughter. And he decides to try to live, you know, just a normal family life. But he's still, like, super robotic in that kind of, like, data way where he's trying to, he's not necessarily trying to understand emotions, but he's just trying to appreciate the differences between synthezoids and humans. I almost said robots, but, you know, I'm sure we would have got an angry letter for that. but anyway, it's really creepy because it's not just this kind of normal thing. I feel like we've all read the robot trying to interact with humans story like a million times. But this really gets into some weird stuff about, like, what the kids' lives are like at school, what the wife's life is like, trying to be a, you know, synthezoid wife. it's bizarre. It's really well written. It's got a really literary use of captions, kind of like some of those old Alan Moore comics, like the way he describes things, the kind of using the captions to do some foreshadowing that is interesting and really well written. You know, sometimes in comics, I think you just get used to people using captions. It's just really basic, like, thought processes. But yeah, it's an excellent comic book. The art is great. Walter really kind of makes the Vision's family look human, but just robot enough. And you never forget that they're synthezoids, but you can also tell that they're trying to process these things that humans deal with all the time. I would highly, highly recommend it. It's not your typical superhero comic book, but it's excellent. And it kind of stinks because Tom King just got signed exclusively to DC because he's going to do the new Batman. So I think the Vision is wrapping up as of issue 12. But I'm super excited to see what he does with Batman because everything I've read by this guy has been something completely different, but really good in its own way.
What's some other stuff he's done?
He did Grayson. Well, he's co-writing that with Tim Seeley. He did Sheriff of Babylon, which is still going on at Vertigo, which is excellent. He wrote the Green Lantern one-shot for the Dark Side War Justice League thing that was with Doc Shaner. That was really, really good.
Oh, man, yeah.
Oh, Omega Man. He's doing Omega Man, which is incredible, because who gives a shit about Omega Man? But, like, it's really, really good. I don't know if you know anything about the Omega Man series, but it's all about this rebel group. It's like if Star Wars happened, it's like if Luke and Han and Leia were like terrorists like ISIS, but they're the heroes. It's really good. I know that sounds terrible, but they have Kyle Rayner on their side and he's constantly trying to get them to not be quite so evil, but I don't want to tell you too much, but it's really good. And that's where Kyle Rayner's at right now. If you're missing him, Omega Man.
At least him, I guess, ending Vision at number 12 means that the series will have an ending, right?
Yeah, he said it's got like a definite ending. And he's like, you know, people were really upset when they announced that he was exclusive to DC. And he kind of reassured everybody. He's like, I'm going to get to finish up the Vision the way I wanted to. So it should be cool. And at the end of number 6, the one that just came out a couple weeks ago, it's really ramping things up. And it's a good place to get into it.
Before we wrap up the comic segment, I wanted to talk a little bit about Department H number 1. That's the new Matt Kent written and drawn series from Dark Horse. I didn't know a ton about this book going in. I knew that the title was a pun and there was some underwater stuff in it.
Right.
But that was about it. And then it turned
have
into
you read
a
Mind
lock.
Management?
I have read Mind Management, okay. And I really like it. But it's one of those books that I don't talk about on the show that much. Oh, also, Charlene Kent is doing the colors on the series. I should credit her as well. Yeah, Mind Management was one of those books that I read in the collections because I just thought it was easier and better to digest it that way. So I don't really talk about it issue by issue, but I really wanted to talk about and check out Department H. And by the time it turned into a locked room mystery in an underwater compound, I was absolutely like, yep, this is a book that is absolutely and completely for me. Because the locked room mystery is something that I will always like. And there's one part where a character even says, it is a locked room mystery.
Lengthy like, moment, yeah.
It's amazing. But there's a lot of just kind of intrigue happening, a lot of stuff that's not stated but implied. There's one page that is especially wonderfully laid out where it's just a conversation between the lead character and someone who it's kind of heavily implied that she's had a romantic relationship with, but it's all kind of not stated in the dialogue. Where it is very deeply hinted at is in the gutter between the panels, like down the middle of the page, we see almost like flashes or memories of them like embracing and kissing. There's literally these images, these memories between them on the page. And it's really creatively laid out, really cool. And that kind of visual stuff gets me every time. So in addition to being a locked room mystery, which is kind of automatically my jam, it's also just got this great kind of visual language stuff in it, like stuff, storytelling you can only do in comics.
Right.
That is absolutely fantastic. So if you were on the fence at all about checking out Department H, I would absolutely recommend it. If any kind of locked room mystery thing is your thing, like it is mine, you will like it.
I bought it. I haven't read it yet. Is it, do you know, is it the kind of thing that's going to wrap up in 6 issues, or is it going to be like a long-term thing?
There's not an indication that I could see on the cover that it's a miniseries. Probably, I'm sure, in relatively short time, the mystery, the murder mystery will be solved, and then maybe it'll go from there.
Right.
In some ways, it kind of reminds me of one of my favorite series of a couple years ago, even though that was much more supernatural and kind of like a bigger world-ending horror story, The Wake. But it's got a kind of a similar setting and intrigue in an underwater compound. Yeah. Aside from that, it's pretty different, but it's got a similar feel, and I like that. So, yeah. Check that out if you have not, and it sounds interesting to you.
Cool.
That's our comic segment. Let's move into our segment of taking some listener questions. What do you say about that?
Let's do it.
But before we get there, let me tell you guys a little bit about Loot Crate. Now, you might have heard Chris Sims and I talking about the April Loot Crate. That Loot Crate is in our rearview mirror. That one stopped being available on April 19th. That is the last day of each month that you can sign up for that month's Loot Crate. But here are some things that are always true. Loot Crate is a monthly subscription box service with exclusive items, 6 to 8, that include licensed gear, apparel, collectibles, unique one-of-a-kind items, all kinds of cool stuff. There's always a t-shirt in the box, and it's less than $20 a month. That's a pretty good deal for a t-shirt alone. You can go right now to lootcrate.com/warrocketajax and enter the code warrocketajax to get $3 off on any new subscription. Every single month, Loot Crate has a brand new theme with a lot of cool stuff that you can check out. We'll be telling you about the May theme very soon. That information should be available in the very near future. It's going to have some stuff you want in it, I can tell you right now. Based on what I've seen in other Loot Crates, there's a lot of cool stuff in those boxes. You can go check out what has been in previous boxes by going to lootcrate.com. See if that's the kind of stuff you would want, and it's the kind of stuff you're going to get in future boxes. Once again, go to lootcrate.com/warrocketajax and use the offer code warrocketajax. Get $3 off, start a new subscription, get lots of cool stuff. All right, the gauntlet has been thrown to our listeners on Twitter to ask us some questions. I guess I should do that little thing where I say how you do that. Thursday night, 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time, 6:30 Pacific. I'm the Matt D. Wilson on Twitter. Chris is the ISB when he's here. I guess when he's not here, too. One of us will put out the call for questions, and that will be your opportunity to ask questions like the ones you're about to hear that we're all three going to answer. Here's the first one. This one is from Marco Stack on Twitter, who calls himself Mark a Vagrant.
Oh, hell yeah.
He wants to know, I think this one is mainly for Kurt Franklin.
Okay.
He asks, are you still carrying that bag of salt around? Have you considered assaulting anyone lately?
Wait a minute. I got to jump in on this because now I've made that bag of salt callback and you weren't recording. I am furious at Matt Wilson right now because we just had possibly the best Savage Dragon conversation that has ever happened between three people on a podcast. I mean, you surely would have won today. I think ever, because I doubt any other podcast has ever mentioned Savage Dragon, much less done that in-depth of a conversation about it. And Matt wasn't recording it, and I never would have made that stupid bag of salt joke that I made if I thought it was just us talking like normal people. But
there's a Savage Dragon podcast. Talking Dragon, Chris Hardwick.
I think it's Finn Talk, or no, Finn Addicts.
That's pretty good.
I like how you wanted to just brush that off and then kind of giggled to yourself. And were like, okay, I got to give it to you.
But the Chris Hardwick after Savage Dragon talk show would never have, it's always talking whatever it is. Yeah, they never have a clever name.
Right. The only one that's kind of clever is Talking Dead, which is, but that's only because it sounds like it.
But we got to do one for Breaking Bad. Obviously, Talking Bad.
Oh boy.
That's a rough go.
This is going to bother me for the rest of the night that you did not record that Savage Dragon conversation.
I don't know why you assumed I was recording it.
Because it came back from the thing and you were like, okay, is everybody here or whatever? And then like you asked Kurt, you were like, so you had a thing you wanted to talk about? And then I guess it's on me because the red light wasn't flashing. I just wasn't paying attention to that.
Do you want to do a short synopsis of the Savage Dragon conversation?
That's just like, I was excited because I was like, hey, we got the Bag of Salt, you know, call back in before the question started. And now nothing. Anyway.
It's something that we'll have forever. It'll just be us.
Yeah.
I'm just thinking about like the worst shows you could have a Chris Hardwick show after. And I keep thinking, Talking Roots.
So are you going to go back and retroactively do Chris Hardwick shows after every episode of Roots?
Well, they reshow Roots every so often, right?
Probably. I don't
know. I feel like that's one of those things that every couple of years they show it again. And it's, you know, like how
they made a new one. They did. They made like a new Roots, actually.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well.
A remake of Roots. They re-rooted it. Sorry.
We're going to get your show canceled somehow.
Yeah.
iTunes. I said last week that there's nothing iTunes can do to us.
That's exactly why I said that. It's like,
we're pushing that boundary.
We did it.
So since we didn't hear that Bag of Salt callback that I wasn't recording, Kurt, are you carrying around that Bag of Salt? Now, should we explain? Because I don't know that everybody who is listening now back and listened to the original Bag of Salt episode.
They have to go back and listen to it. Don't even try to explain it.
Is that episode still out there? Like, did Edward Snowden not get it deleted? Or
it is available for anybody to listen to.
All right.
If I could just briefly explain, I think it had to do with if you would eat Jim Lee or Dan DiDio in an elevator.
Right.
And you said that you would carry around a Bag of Salt to season them.
Right, yeah. That makes sense. In 2016.
Oh yeah. Are you carrying it around? And who might you eat?
Well, I'm a little older now, so I mean, my seasoning tastes are a little different. So, you know, I got like a little bag of honey nutmeg, but there is still a little bit of salt in there that I carry.
You know what you got to get? You got to get saffron.
I do need some saffron.
That's the good stuff.
What do you put the saffron on, Matt?
I don't know. I just know that saffron's like supposed to be like a cool spice.
Oh, geez. So you just said something cool to be cool.
That's right.
I was like one of those teenagers that wouldn't have given you a high five.
Yeah. I'm just trying to be cool.
Saffron, guys. Saffron.
Just trying to be cool talking about saffron.
I like the idea that you think to be cool, the way to accomplish that is mentioning a spice that's supposed to be popular.
Yeah. Dudes, have you heard about thyme? It's pretty sick.
I guess we answered that. The next question is from MC Suzalot on Twitter. She wants to know, what is the best superhero show on TV now?
Is that Blade show with the guy from Onyx, Sticky Fingers? Is that still on?
I think that show was on in 2006.
I think there were two episodes of that.
That's my
answer. I will say that when you Google Blade and then the letter S, Blade Sticky Fingers is the first suggestion on Google.
Yeah. It's got a legacy.
Blade the series.
I'll let y'all answer it. Y'all are the professional show watchers.
Yeah, but that's the thing. It's like all of the shows that we watch are terrible.
I thought y'all liked Supergirl.
I like Supergirl, but it's not very good. I mean, it's like it has a ton of potential, but and there's moments that kind of make you go, "All right, I'm gonna keep giving this a chance." but and it's you can feel that there is a good show they are close to, but also there's, you know, every week you're just like, when you see them come close to that potential and then like turn and drive the other way to do something else, it's really frustrating.
FYI, the first episode of Blade the series aired on June 28th, 2006.
You called it, man.
The final episode aired on September 13th, 2006.
Wow, 2 days after 9/11.
of 2006.
Right. That was...
there's a 9/11 every year, I mean.
That is fair. Chris, gun to your head, what superhero TV show would you most... Would you be the most okay with having to watch?
Oh, well, does Agent Carter count?
Sure.
Because, yeah. I mean, there's no superheroes really in that, but I mean, it is a comic show. And
it's
that
a
show,
Marvel show, yeah.
Yeah, and that show is fantastic. If we're talking about the live-action shows, yeah, I would be happy to watch that. The brief hiatus I had from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., where they were showing Agent Carter, and we got to watch that for 10 weeks instead of 10 weeks... more of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. was so nice. Because, you know, Matt and I talk about Arrow every week, yeah, or every week that it's on. And Dylan and I talk about Supergirl, and then Zaya and I talk about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. usually. But man, that break where we were getting to watch Agent Carter was just... that break where we were getting to talk about Aaron Carter was just something else.
Dude, didn't he have like a new Western coming out or something?
Aaron Carter?
Yeah, seriously. Like Kevin
has a Western coming out.
Google Aaron Carter Western.
I'm not calling you a liar. I am just surprised to hear it. You know that I believe you, you know, just without question.
While we're getting our Aaron Carter update, I'm going to say my answer is Legends of Tomorrow. It is wildly uneven, but the other night while I was watching Legends of Tomorrow, Marlene, my wife, asked me straight out, is this show better than Arrow? And I just took her by the hand and I burst into tears.
In a positive way? Or just the way...
Because I didn't know how to answer. I couldn't say yes strongly enough.
It's lucky for her. I mean, I'm thankful that she has not had to watch Arrow with you.
She occasionally will sit down on the couch and watch about 3 minutes of Arrow with me and just ask the question, what's that Arrow doing? which does make watching Arrow slightly more enjoyable for those 3 minutes.
Yeah, it's funny. The season finale of Supergirl was this week, and April came in and watched like the last, you know, 5 minutes or so of that with me. And I was like, man, this is so much more fun when there's someone here who just absolutely does not give a fuck and is like willing to, you know, it doesn't care about any of the characters and will just say things like really call stuff how it looks like to an outsider. So that must be fun. But it also made me realize how not fun it is then when she goes, or how nice it must be for her to be able to just stand up then and walk away. Go like, oh, I don't have to watch any more of this.
Yeah. There is that moment where she's asking constantly, what's that Arrow doing or who's that Arrow? Where I kind of have to go like, I actually do have to pay attention to the show. And I feel like the worst person on earth when that happens. Because
at this point, though, I think that you could probably not pay that close attention and we could still make it through. You have too much integrity?
That's right.
Too much journalistic integrity?
If there's one word that you would attach to my name, it's integrity. But no, it's that I don't want to overstate it and say PTSD. But I have bad memories.
Has that. Yeah, I didn't understand PTSD until we started watching Arrow.
I do have bad memories of, like, when I was doing the Arrow recaps myself, and I would get, like, the most minor detail wrong, and all the comments were just going the hardest they could possibly go after me because I got a very small detail of the episode wrong. I had a guy. I'm revealing that I have read the comments in the past. I don't anymore. But
that's a major fuck up, man. Because now they're just gonna comment more.
I had a guy, like, I made a joke about somebody having a very modern, like, 2014, 2013 smartphone, and what was supposed to be a flashback to 2007. This guy just got on the comments and was like, the iPhone was invented in 2007. Therefore, they could have had a smartphone. The end. You're stupid. Period.
Hell yeah.
And it's just like, okay, well, that wasn't an iPhone 1, my friend. And this was like a giant LG smartphone with a huge screen.
Idiot. That's what you should have said.
Well, I didn't reply.
Respond. Oh, you should have.
There's no way I'm going to reply to a fucking comment.
You should have, man. I guess that's the difference. Because I will gladly go in those comments and.
I know Dylan just, does. I won't do it.
That's the thing, like, with. That I think has been like a lot more fun about doing these, trying to do these things with, you know, now that they have us doing these, like where we're paired up, because then it makes it so much easier to go like, oh, I have another, I don't have to deal with this lunacy by myself. And it's like at any time, you know, if you get into something with someone, you and the other person can just go like, oh, well, you're an idiot. And it's like, we're at this level where then, and if you say something, we can make fun of it in the next recap. To know,
have we gotten anything like that with Arrow?
No, they're usually pretty cool. Surprisingly, I'm kind of surprised that people like, for as certainly as hard as I am on how awful that show is, I'm surprised more people don't hate me.
I think I might have driven away all the people who actually like the show.
We get some real weird heat in Supergirl and Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., but especially in Supergirl. Maybe it's just because then, like, as the week is winding down, people are more tired.
That could be true. Kurt, do we have an Aaron Carter update?
It's actually news? Nick Carter that's in the Western. I'm sorry. My bad. I really messed that one up, guys. I don't know.
What a letdown.
I know.
The next question is from Charlotte of Oz on Twitter. Charlotte wants to know, what would you put in a surprise box to sell at a convention?
Anime.
Like, just the concept of anime?
It's real popular.
It's true.
It's real
popular. What if you made anime real and put that in a box?
That would be awesome. I would vote for that box.
Definitely.
Same. Donald Trump was just like, I'm really into Dragon Ball, like, tomorrow.
He's really going for that one niche vote that is probably already for him.
Yeah, like the 4chan kind of, yeah.
I don't, yeah. Man, I the really would, it would make me, if he came out and was talking about Dragon Ball, and it was clear that he really knew what he was talking about.
Yeah.
It honestly would change. I mean, I still wouldn't like him, but it would change how I thought about him.
What if he came out and he was just specifically talking about ensuring the rights of people who have anime avatars on Twitter?
Yes. Well, and what's awesome is if he did that, then you know, like, Hillary would be like, oh, I love anime too.
Oh my god.
And it was just this chain of anime. And
of then suddenly they were, talking about anime is got to be a part of the national discourse.
She would, like, try to out anime him, like, oh, I only watch dubbed, you know. Like,
you gotta get those fan subs.
That's
you
know right. The good stuff.
I think to stay on brand, what we should put in our surprise boxes is just heaping piles of salt.
What was the other one? The Harry Lasagna Challenge.
Harry Lasagna Challenge. That's right.
Ugh.
I
feel like I just almost threw up a little bit thinking about that.
Just like grocery store pre-made lasagna. And, the next question is from Sin East Ben Rowe on Twitter. Ben wants to know, what keeps you enthused on a day of bad news? I think rhyming Twitter questions is a good answer to that. But,
yeah. It really did kind of put me in a better mood.
Anything else that, like, you know, on a day like today, where it started bad because of the China news.
Yeah.
And then it got worse.
Yeah.
Do you have certain things that you do to make yourself feel better?
I think a good thing to think about is that, you know, it's terrible that Prince died, but we will always have that music, you know.
Until we die.
Right.
Then we won't get to listen to it anymore.
Well, I mean, who knows what's next? We might have music then, too.
Yeah.
Well, we might Chris, I think you're doing music. The opposite. I think you're doing the opposite of what is being asked, because you're just immediately – you're going from somebody died. I'm going to die.
Yeah, I've went straight to the only game in town.
Yeah.
Unless you dying is like something you're looking forward to.
Yeah.
Oh, man, it just got real dark.
Yeah.
It did.
Well, I was going to say
maybe it's best to just move on to another question.
No. I was going to say the thing that I love about when you know, like a celebrity or a musician or somebody that meant something to people dies is the fact that, you know, instantly there is an outpouring of awesome things they did on Twitter. Most notably, people will find the coolest moments in that person's career and turn them into GIFs where it's just distilled down into like a 3-second thing where you just like, it's super concentrated amazingness. And you can always count on when someone dies that Twitter is going to be like just a flood of things that make you go like, oh, that's why this person was so awesome. Or finding these moments where it's just like that. I retweeted one earlier today that where Prince was playing at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and where he finished his part playing guitar, took it off and threw it up in the air, and it looks like it never comes down.
Yeah.
It's just stuff like that, that people immediately go and find things like that and, you know, turn them into GIFs or put them on YouTube and all that stuff. It's like, well, it, you know, obviously it's terrible, and it's, you know, depending on your connection with the person, you know, how much it affects you, but it's great to then go, I know I'm going to get to see their greatest hits from, I'm going to get to see things from this person that I had completely forgotten about or that I never knew about. And, you know, just the outpouring of creativity and memories of awesome things. That's always, you know, silver linings.
That moment where he throws up the guitar and it doesn't appear to land anywhere is one of a few magic moments in that video. Cause there's another part where he's like playing the guitar so hard that he's like getting twisted around and kind of like leaning off the stage.
Mm-hmm.
And a person just emerges and pushes him back onto the stage.
Yeah. Oh man.
As if this was planned.
That whole video is just, I mean, that whole like, well, I mean, and just when he appears, you know, it's like you've got all these legendary musicians on stage.
Right.
And then still
kind of defer to Prince.
Like even amongst all of these, you know, huge, huge stars, when Prince appears, it seems like no one else is on the stage.
Well, yeah, because then you look up and you're like, oh, there's still Tom Petty just kind of doing like the studio musician kind of role.
Yeah. Well, and you watch those guys, you watch some of those other huge stars on that stage as he's playing, and you can catch them in the background sometimes. You can see them just watching him, you know. And I think there's a point where George Harrison's son is watching that. He's playing too, but the camera just kind of catches him perfectly looking at Prince, and he's just got the most like overjoyed, amazed look on his face just watching Prince. And it's like, kind of says it all.
If you don't know what we're talking about, it's like the tribute to George Harrison where they're playing My Guitar Gently Weeps. It's awesome. There's that part where he catches eyes with Tom Petty, and they're kind of looking at each other, and it kind of just looks like they're sharing this, like, hey, we're doing a really good thing. But knowing Prince, I like to imagine that Prince was just looking at him like, look, motherfucker, I'm kicking your ass right now.
Yeah, I'll find that video and put it in the show notes, because if you haven't seen it, you must. The next question we have is from John_S_Anderson. And we kind of already talked about this, but he wants to know, has Chris started having dreams about James Remar?
I haven't yet. It's weird that, I tweeted the other day. I was like actually surprised, because I feel like I am usually really susceptible to having the stuff that has just happened to me in the day or, you know, right before I went to bed show up in my dreams. I feel like that happens a lot. I don't know what that says about me, but, you know, I feel like I have that happen a lot, and I have not had one Mortal Kombat Annihilation related dream yet. I mean, I'm honestly like, I'm kind of a little disappointed, but I'm sure 2 months from now, I am going to be begging for the Mortal Kombat dreams to stop.
Yeah, it's weird what turns into a dream and what doesn't, because I just watched like one episode of Daredevil before bed the other night and had a dream where I was a lawyer. Like immediately.
That's interesting that's the part you take away from it.
It was one of the like trial heavy episodes. John Anderson also wants to know if you prefer Christopher Lambert or James Remar, but you've really only been watching the one with James Remar in it, the one with Christopher Lambert.
I mean, I do like Christopher Lambert from, you know, Highlander and such, but
whoa. His name's Christopher Lambert. I thought it was Lambert.
No, it's Lambert because he's
unbelievable. He's I've been getting it wrong this whole time, my whole life. I've just been making a fool out of myself.
Oh, well, I'm sure, and I do know, having known you for so long, I do know how often his name comes up in conversations with you.
Constantly, man.
And I didn't want to correct you previously because I thought you were doing it ironically.
I do a lot of stuff ironically. Yeah.
Yeah, I haven't seen the funny thing is like people have been asking me stuff about the first Mortal Kombat movie too, and I haven't seen it since I was in high school. So it's like I really don't have – I have only the foggiest, you know, and I've got it. I could watch it anytime I want, but I think I'm going to try to wait until, you know, like halfway into this or something and then do a – you know, maybe do like a special where I watch that and see, you know, how it holds up or whatever. Because I remember the first one being like kind of good to me as a teenager, but also I was pretty stupid then, so – I mean, I'm pretty stupid now, but I at least know what's a good movie a little better.
I'll tell you this. James Remar's version is like a very serious character.
He doesn't have like the – I remember Christopher Lambert having like a really weird accent. Like he already
It's Christopher Lambert's accent.
Well, no, because I mean, wasn't it like – because I mean, he has like an interesting or, you know, like a unique accent anyway. But then wasn't he kind of trying to do – in my memory, he was like kind of trying to do some kind of voice.
I think he made his voice maybe raspier. Hmm. But James Remar's Raiden is very – or Raiden, I guess is how they say it in the movies – is very serious and direct. Christopher Lambert's Raiden is a son of a bitch. Like, it's like he's just playing a big prank on everybody throughout the movie.
Like James Remar,
very interesting.
James Remar Raiden, though, he will also say a lot of like, he'll randomly say things like, "Does she fight as good as she looks?" Or "What's up with your arms?" And like, also, I assume I'll probably have like this entire movie memorized by the end of this, where I can just quote it, you know, and it takes me a full hour and 45 minutes or whatever to say it. But there's like weird little bits like that in there. But then other times he seems like he's trying to just like act the hell out of it. Like he knows he's in a terrible movie, but he's still trying to be a really good actor. Like to elevate it, maybe? I don't know. See, these are the questions that I have to get to the bottom of.
We'll get there. I think we'll get there. The next question is from Tales to Enrage on Twitter. His question is, Superman and Captain America want to go out to eat. Where do they go?
Combination Taco Bell Pizza Hut.
It's perfect.
No, I don't know. Where do they go?
They'd probably go somewhere pretty like all American, right?
I if I'm correct, the slogan of Denny's is America's Diner.
Yep. Denny's was one of the first places I thought of Applebee's and I was like, come on. And then I thought Denny's is pretty all American food, right?
Well, they'd probably go to like more like a gas station diner, you know, like one that's just got like a Jack's, something like that, you know?
Yeah, just like any old neighborhood diner.
Right. Like the place all the old people meet up at 6 a.m.
Yeah. They probably wouldn't go to a chain, you're right.
But for marketing purposes.
Yeah.
Denny's.
No, you know where they'd go? They would probably go to Steak and Shake because it's probably the closest restaurant that's similar to the time period Cap is familiar with.
That's true. That might just, or maybe like a 50s diner.
Yeah, like Johnny Rockets. Well, I mean, Steak and Shake is kind of kind of got the feel of a 50s diner or somewhere like Johnny Rockets.
Yeah. But like if they played actual like old music in there.
Yeah.
That might help. Okay. The next question is from Charlotte of Oz once again. Charlotte wants to know, you have to pick one tweet, not of your own making, to go on your tombstone. Which one?
Oh, man. Mine would have to be a drill tweet.
That's what I was thinking. I was like, I probably need some research time on that, though. One doesn't just, like, leap to mind.
Well, I have two options in mind. I think I prefer one to the other, but...
Can it be a Vine instead?
Sure.
Can it be a tweet?
I'm sure we'll have that.
Can it be a tweet that contains a Vine?
We'll allow it.
Yes. I think we'll have that technology.
Okay.
In the near future.
I've got mine, then. Oh, I don't. It's like I don't. I basically have to just explain the Vine to you.
Yeah, I'm waiting. I want to hear it.
All right. So this is literally the funniest thing I have ever seen in my life. I'm not even going to be able to get through it without laughing. It's a Vine where they've taken a video of this guy is like in. He's like in a zoo or something, but someone's redubbed the audio, but it sounds. It's just perfect. And the guy's talking about something. There's like a little baby rhino or something in between the bars, but they're like wooden bars or something. I love that this video is like, this Vine is like 6 seconds long and it's going to take me 2 minutes to explain it. But the guy says, even these creatures, you know, it's like, even the babies are some of the most dangerous animals, some of the most dangerous animals on Earth, which is why I've constructed this. Cage that's completely, they can never break out of it or whatever. And as he's saying that, in the background, you see the little baby rhino just like walk between two of the bars and like walk by him. And the guy's talking and then he turns and sees it walking by him. And like right in the middle of, as he's talking about how if they ever got, one of them ever got loose, he sees it and just goes, oh my God. And it cuts off right in the middle of him saying, oh my God. And it's, I'm not doing it any justice, but it is literally the funniest thing I've ever seen in my life. I sat there, like, I just laid on my couch, crying, laughing at it, watching it over and over one night, and it's like, it just kept getting funnier to me. It's the best thing ever. That should have been my answer for the how to maintain your enthusiasm on a bad day. It'd just be like, watch that Vine over and over until you feel better.
My answer is one of two tweets, maybe both. Maybe just put both of them on my tombstone. One is, and I don't know who to credit them to, so maybe I'll find them and link them. The first one is the tweet that says, I'm sorry, Miss Jackson, I am for eels. Never meant to make your mama cry, or daughter cry. I am several fish and not a guy. And then the other one is the one that says, pickup artists and garbage men should switch titles.
Those are both pretty good.
I love those.
That's good.
I'm in a great mood now.
Kurt, do you have a drill tweet that is like top of the heap?
Yeah, I found it. Hold up. I just said it. Okay. So you persecute Jared Fogle just because he has different beliefs? Do tell. Open parentheses. Girls get mad at me. Close parentheses. Sorry. I'm sorry. I'm trying to remove it.
That's a good tombstone tweet. Oh,
that's going on my tombstone.
That one is very good.
Kurt, do another one.
Oh, man. We'd have to have all...
Do another one.
I feel too tempted to do like a Jack Nicholson voice when I'm doing it.
Doing things in a Jack Nicholson voice would be a great tribute to Prince.
That would be.
All right. The next question comes from the Noir Guy on Twitter. He wants to know, what comic is your favorite example of friendship or best friends?
Oh, easy.
I think I know what Kurt's going to say.
Yeah. You go first, Chris.
No, go ahead, man. Because I think since we both know what you're going to say.
It's Hitman by Garth Ennis and John McCree. Just because it's the best, probably the best depiction of male friendship in a comic. And it's super macho and completely, you know, straight guy, males being friends. The kind of weird friendship that you have where you still might kill each other, but your friends, it's really good. And you know, you read something at a specific time in your life and it means something more to you. That was kind of one of those comics for me. But yeah, that's my answer.
You know, I mean, I'm kind of tempted to say Hitman too, like, because I read Hitman because of the way that Kurt talked about it. And, you know, he said that same kind of thing to me when he was like talking about it and, you know, describing it and talking about like how good it was. And so I always kind of associate, like, I was going into that comic knowing how he felt about it and then seeing all of that pay off and be like, oh wow, he really wasn't kidding. And yeah, I mean, that's like really the first thing that comes to mind. I mean, not to steal his answer, but I mean, I feel like it, how strongly he felt about it was, you know, I couldn't help but have some of that rub off on me. But then like you read it and it's, you know, it was every bit as good as he said it was going to be. And then like to see that the way that friendship plays out throughout the, you know, or the friendships, just, yeah, it's something that kind of sticks with you. I mean, nothing else is really like jumping to mind that has that same kind of, had that same kind of powerful effect.
I'm going into like kind of traditional superhero stuff here, but I've always really liked the friendship between Spider-Man and the Human Torch, where they kind of like poke at each other.
Yeah.
Where they kind of like make fun of each other.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And, but like when the rubber hits the road, like when things get serious, like they will really go to bat for one another and help each other. I really like the Jeff Parker, Mike Waringo, Spider-Man and the Fantastic Four miniseries.
The Silver Rage, I believe it's called. Like on the trade, I think it says, that's the name of the...
Okay. I think that was from like 07. It's very good. And it's got a lot of that kind of like Spider-Man, Human Torch verbal sparring. But then they really have each other's backs in the end, yeah. Which is very representative of all my friendships. We're like, you know, we'll crack on each other, but then, you know,
that
we care.
I think it was from like 2004, 2005, maybe a little earlier, but that Spider-Man Human Torch miniseries that was also kind of like tracking their, each issue was kind of like tracking their friendship through the years. And I can't remember, maybe Dan Slott wrote it, but I think Ty Templeton did the art for it. That one was also like a great example of like just perfectly nailing their friendship.
The next question comes from Oso of Today, Rodrigo V on Twitter. Rodrigo wants to know, what is the comics everybody strip you'd have loved to do but never got around to?
There were a couple I remember that were just too much. About. Yeah, like,
well, there were some that we wanted to do, and just like we, like maybe the character, like they kind of thought the character wasn't popular enough to warrant it. I mean, and I get like I still have some of those. I mean, I'm still doing those.
Yeah, yeah, you do such a good job on them. I feel like when we started, like, the longer we went, the worse I got at them, because I think I tried to put too much into it. Like, your art was always really good, but, like, I think I listened to too many internet commenters, because somebody would always be like, what about this? What about this? And so we got to the point where I was like, man, I got to include Catwolf in this.
Yeah,
or whatever.
Yeah, Catwolf is the thing that always sticks out in my mind when I'm thinking about
it. How could you not mention Catwolf?
Yeah, and it's like, okay, we've got 8 panels to sum up a 70 years worth of story, and you're mad that we didn't put in something that was in 3 issues.
Right.
Like,
Catwolf was a pretty comics everybody kind of thing.
Like, yeah, I mean, but that's the thing that always, like, that we
should just put, like, Captain America turned into a werewolf next.
Yeah. I'm trying to think, I know that there was something we talked about where we were like, this character has a really messed up story, but we never got to do them, like, either because they weren't popular enough, or there was just like other stuff came up where it was like, oh, there's a Thor movie coming out, we should do Thor.
Right.
Man, nobody just like leaps to mind, though, even though I know that there were some.
Well, there is the long lost Terry Long Comics Everybody, which is like the Magnificent Ambersons of Comics Everybody.
Yeah.
Just missing the time.
We never got to do Batman, which I'm a little surprised about.
Oh, God.
I mean,
I think Grant Morrison kind of did Batman Comics Everybody with
There's somebody that's just kind of like right there. Oh, I know that there was somebody that was like one of those characters that just had like a messed up story that we were like, we'll have to do this eventually. And it just never happened.
Yeah.
But I can't think of who it was. It was somebody where it was, you know, they just weren't, they had a real messed up story, but they didn't have, they weren't like a huge character.
Dooms 4.
Yeah, I think that's the whole thing would just be about how you, I think you're the only person who could write that. And then the, you know, at least half of it would be about wanting to finally, you know, get some answers for why you didn't. What was it you said in that letter?
I just invited him to Memphis,
yeah,
to come.
No, out. Yeah. That was that you, why you didn't, why you never got your certificate of authenticity.
Oh, right.
And yeah, why they never came to Memphis.
Yeah, I needed a certificate of authenticity with everything.
Well, I'm letting you guys know that I'm waiting for the Death's Head 2 comics, everybody.
Oh, hell yeah.
That'd be a good one. I'd be into that. But I mean, again, that's like, yeah, that's one of those things where it's like, it'd be like, who? No, do one about something that people have heard of.
Everybody knows about Death's Head 2.
Yeah, Marvel UK, man.
Mike Sterling wants to know, what's the weirdest animal you've ever touched?
The man animal. The human. The strangest creature of all.
We are pretty weird.
Yep.
Us people.
Yep.
I've touched a lot of animals. My dad was a vet. I'm trying to think of what I could talk about without getting too depressing. Because I touched
a peacock once. That was pretty weird.
I think mine is just like,
you're not supposed to, like, hey, don't
touch a peacock.
Yeah. Learn from my mistakes. Don't try to.
Did it snap at you?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Well, they said it was okay.
I think my answer,
they said it was okay, but then it wasn't okay.
My answer is something boring. Like just like a huge manta ray.
Oh, that's cool though.
Like in an aquarium.
That'd be awesome. I'd love to touch one of those.
Touched an elephant.
They're like kind of slimy.
You touched a what?
An elephant.
It's not weird, but it is awesome.
Yeah. Weird in the context of animals is tough.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
yeah,
you're not likely.
Maybe like hardest to come by.
Yeah, you're rarest. Not likely to come into contact with an elephant just out in the wild.
Yeah.
Where were you?
Thailand.
Oh, okay. Well, I guess you were likely to come into contact with one out in the wild in Thailand.
Yeah. There were a lot of monkeys there, too. They would just jump up on your shoulder. I touched a little monkey. I don't know if that counts. I tried to steal one of my friend's earrings. Like, it jumped up on her shoulder and started, like, and she was like, oh, it's a monkey. And then it tried to rip her earring out. And we were in these, like, ruins at the time. And there was this little kid that had been following us around the whole time. We didn't know why.
Pickpocket.
Maybe, I don't know. But, like, he was just following us. And then as soon as the monkey jumped on her shoulder, the little kid pulled out a slingshot and just shot the monkey in the head with, like, it's like the kid was Bullseye or something. And then we were like, oh, that's what the kid does. He just follows people around and shoots the monkeys off of them.
What a job.
Yeah.
Monkey shooter.
I wonder how you get trained for that.
Practice, maybe?
Man, I gotta investigate this. Chris Haley, I think this question's for you. This is from Vic Perfecto on Twitter.
All right.
He wants to know, if Daniel Bryan is Superman, who is his Lex Luthor and who is his Batman?
I had a conversation via text with, well, Matt, you know Randall Trang, right?
Yeah, I think so.
I'm sure. I mean,
not well.
Yeah, but you've been around. But and Kurt, have you met Randy?
Yeah, I met him last year. Yeah.
Okay, so I want to, because I love Superman and Daniel Bryan both so much, I wanted to put Superman, I wanted to put Daniel Bryan into that idea. And of course, like we nerds do, we want to like cross-pollinate the things we like and go like, oh, this Mark Henry is like the dark side of the WWE DC universe. But he really doesn't fit for Superman. You know, Randy kind of, I was like, could, you know, would he be Superman? Who would, and he was like, nah, he would, you know, he would be more like Wolverine or something. Yeah, I don't know. I don't have a good answer for that because he as much as I wanted him to, he just doesn't fit for Superman.
I mean, Daniel O'Brien's kind of a fit for Spider-Man, right? Like, he's an underdog who figures out how to succeed,
yeah,
even though he's constantly being held down.
I should look up that I could go back and find the because Randy is like awesome at, like, I'll ask him weird wrestling questions and he has perfect answers, and it sounds like every time I ask him something like that, he gives me, you know, he sends back a whole like string of texts that are really well written that seems like he already had a paper on the subject ready to go. And it's like so well thought out. Yeah, the way that he explained why Daniel Bryan should be Wolverine was just kind of, I was like, oh, well, okay, there's not really much room to argue with this.
I do think if we were going to name like a mastermind nemesis for Daniel Bryan, I feel like the first thought is to go to Triple H.
Yeah, but it's not.
But I think it might be Randy Orton.
Oh, wow.
Because Randy Orton took his title at SummerSlam, right?
Took the title, and then he won that match where Shawn Michaels screwed Daniel Bryan.
And then he was like one of the final bosses at WrestleMania 30.
Yeah, Kurt, just jump in at any time with all of your thoughts on this as well. I know that you have...
I was actually thinking about how you could have like parties that you would theme around different wrestling events, like Royal Rumble. Like, you have 30 people with a drink in their hand, and then everybody just drinks a lot, and then eventually there's a winner. I have to work on that one.
I think that's just called a party.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to turn it into a drinking game where, like, everybody gets assigned a wrestler, and when their wrestler gets thrown out, they have to drink.
Oh, no, I was just talking about not even watching wrestling, just people drinking.
Oh, wait, okay, I know what you could do with the Royal Rumble. Okay, everyone, if you have 30 people over, everyone is assigned a wrestler. Every time your wrestler throws someone else out, you can pick someone else from the party to make them drink. Okay. And then also, if you're...
I thought you were going to say make them leave.
That's good, too.
Yeah, that's, you know. But then also, then if your wrestler gets thrown out, you have to finish your drink. But you have the when your wrestler throws someone out, you have the power to assign drinking.
Ooh, and also, like, in the middle of it, there's a ladder, and at the top of it, there's like this giant bottle, and you have to climb up and drink it. But then other people can kick the ladder over.
Mm-hmm.
I'm into this.
I think Daniel Bryan's Batman is pretty clearly Kane, because they had a friendship, a partnership.
Yeah,
but sometimes
that works.
They disagree. I think this is going to be our last question. This comes from...
Ever? This is the last one ever? Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
It's been...
We're just going to shut down Twitter after this.
Yeah, you had a good run, but now it's time for it to go.
We broke off a hundo with 301,
yeah,
and then it was over. This is from Pedro Valor on Twitter. He wants to know, what is all of our favorite alcoholic drink?
Oh, boy. Man, personally, I just love a good straight-up whiskey, so I'm good. But after having seen The Guest, I want to drink a fireball like it's supposed to be drank.
Yeah.
With the Tabasco and
cinnamon schnapps. Yeah. I really did make me want to try that, but then when you know that he's ordering it just so, because he knows what's going to happen.
So he can beat up a bunch of teenagers?
It's like, because you know, he knows that guy's going to throw that drink in his face. And so... then when he has a chance to throw it, you know, to then throw his drink in that guy's face, he knows it's going to be absolutely horrendous.
Right.
Oh, my God. That movie is so good.
Chris, speaking of Fireball, I know you're a fan of a Fireball mixed drink with Dr. Pepper.
Oh, yeah, that's good. My real answer to this question, though, is a drink that Kurt named. It became like my regular drink at this bar that Kurt and I used to go to at least once a week.
Sometimes twice.
Yeah, sometimes twice. Sometimes on Thursdays and on Sundays, but at least one of those days. We would go to this bar and we were like, our whole crew would go, and we were friends with the managers and the bartenders and just the whole cast of characters at this weird bar. The bar itself wasn't that weird. It was just, I guess, the people there were weird. I hadn't found a drink that I particularly liked yet. And, the bartender was like, we're going to make you something you're going to like. And he made me a drink that was It's Southern Comfort and Dr. Pepper. And it doesn't taste like either of those things separately. There's something about when it mixes together that makes it taste much different than what they taste like individually. And they were like, all right, this is going to be Chris Haley's new drink because I liked it. And they were like, what should we call it? And Kurt was standing there. And Kurt said, let's call it a failed relationship.
I think you were going through some stuff at the time.
Yeah, there were, yeah, things were not great at the moment. I was like looking, I was kind of in a need for, I was looking to find a drink that I liked so I could get drunk more quickly.
Readily?
I guess. Yeah, more like.
More like me.
Yeah, I was trying to be more like Kurt.
There must be something about Dr. Pepper where it changes the tastes of
liquor. I mean, I like Dr. Pepper just by itself, too. So, I mean, that doesn't hurt. But, yeah, I think there's something about those the 23 herbs and seasonings or whatever they say on the whatever they say on the bottle. It's got it's
because. But it's like that Fireball Dr. Pepper drink. Like,
it's good.
Suddenly turns into like. Some kind of cinnamony delicious thing.
It's that delicious.
Doesn't really tastes like either one.
Yeah. Go make these drinks, children. Please, underage listeners,
yeah,
go and try
this.
It will make it. You will learn how to drink without feeling like you're drinking something awful, and then you get drunk. It's great. That's what we're going for, right? We're trying to get you canceled, right? As
yeah, that's what. Aiming for cancel, I think is going to be the title of this episode. Kurt, do you have a have you been able to settle on a fave?
Fave, you know, I'm just going to have to go with my old standard Jameson. Just neat on the rocks. You can put some ginger ale in it. It's good any way you do it.
Nice and expensive.
Jameson's not that expensive.
A Tom Collins is real good too. A Tom Collins, that's a nice.
Is that named after Tom Collins?
It is.
All right.
Tom Collins Sr.
Oh. What's a Tom Collins Jr.?
Tom Collins Jr. is just maraschino cherries and backwash.
Oh.
That sounds good.
From an alcoholic.
Mine, I think, is going to have to be, like, I have certain go-to drinks that are just standards. Like, I'll do a rum and coke with regularity. And if I'm just drinking like straight liquor, it's always going to be scotch whiskey. But if I'm like out some in like a cocktail bar, and I want to have a nice fancy drink, I enjoy an old fashioned, but the one that I usually go for is a dark and stormy.
Ooh, yeah, that's good.
I really enjoy a dark and stormy. All right, that's going to wrap up our question segment. Chris Haley, say the name of your podcast and tell listeners where else they can find you online.
Follow me on Twitter at @TheChrisHaley. I will tweet about the things I am doing. Generally, my podcast is called Keep It Close to Me. You can go to keepitclosetome.com and you can follow the show on Twitter at @KICTMPodcast. We're on iTunes. You can subscribe there. Only got a couple episodes up right now, but you know, I really enjoy doing. Podcasting, you know, having a chance to talk to my friends for, you know, kind of extended periods where they can't escape. So it's, you know, hopefully I'll be doing it for quite a while. So, yeah, you can get in on the ground floor is what I'm saying. You can be one of those people that's like, oh, yeah, I've been listening since the zero episode.
Great job of making it sound ominous, by the way.
Yeah.
Like, I'm also listening to that show before he killed somebody.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if you listen to the Zero episode, you know that, you know, the show is like a cross between Night Vale and Serial. And
that is true.
Hopefully at the end, you know, if you take good notes, you can figure out the mystery and win the huge cash prize.
Kurt Franklin, where can our listeners find you online?
Twitter. Kurt O. Franklin, CURTOFRANKLIN. You can friend me on Facebook too. I don't care. You can email me. You can call me. My phone number is.
That really is his number.
Whatever you want to do, I'm good.
What's your? Have you got? How does Tinder work? How do they find you on that?
You got to be close. You got to be within. I set the range to 69 miles. So.
I gotta find a bleep sound effect now so I can bleep out your phone number.
I really don't care.
I know you don't, but I do. I would feel terrible if you were getting random phone calls.
Oh, that would be perfect. What are you talking about? Leave it in there.
I need friends, please.
Kirk Franklin, Chris Haley.
Thank you.
It has been great, as always, to have you on the show.
Would you say that we are the War Rocket Ajax guest all-stars?
You know what? According to our listeners and my heart, that is true.
Fantastic.
It is 100% true in my heart. And I hope we get canceled because of this. And Chris doesn't know what's going on.
We're going to do like a live episode, like a video. I think that's what we should do next.
Live streaming?
No, like we'll videotape us doing this all together in the same room or something.
Yeah. Kurt and I will get in the car and drive to you. And then we'll just, we'll film it.
Hell yeah.
Okay. I think that sounds like a plan.
And it'll be behind the paywall.
There's a paywall?
That's it for this week's episode of War Rocket Ajax. I hope you enjoyed hanging out with Kurt and Chris for that 95 minutes as much as I did. If you would like to send us an email with an Every Story Ever list, a panel president list, a listener question, or a comment, or if you want to sponsor the show, you can do that at warrocketpodcast@gmail.com. That is our email address. Also, you can leave us listener questions on our Tumblr, which is warrocketpodcast.tumblr.com. Be sure to check out our website, which is warrocketajax.com. That is where you can stream the show, download the show, read show notes, and leave comments. I'm going to tell you where you can find me on the internet. All you have to do is go to about.me/MattDWilson. You will find links to my Twitter, my Tumblr, and my books on Amazon. You can also find Copernicus Jones Robot Detective on Comixology. You just search for it. That's pretty easy. Chris Sims will be back next week. In the meantime, go read his comics. X-Men 92 is coming out now. Find him at about.me/ChrisSims. That's going to do it for War Rocket Ajax number 301. As a wise man once said, if you don't like the world you're living in, take a look around you. At least you got friends. See you next week, everybody. Yeah!